Let's now turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. Romans 10, 14 to 15. May I read once again from that text? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The heartbeat of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this epistle to the Romans, was the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our salvation. In the first 9 chapters, he labored to explain the gospel of Christ in all its entirety and purity. In Romans 1:17, for instance, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are all familiar with that great statement, the just shall live by faith. The heart of the message of Reformation, that Jesus has come down according to the will of the Father, that he may die on the cross by taking our sins, and then he may be resurrected on the third day according to the Scriptures to grant us forgiveness of sin. And that is the free gospel with which God has sent His Son to this world. And that is what we believe. That's what we want to preach. Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, in the immediate context of the text that we are going to meditate on, Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart. Confess him as your Lord and Savior, for God hath given him as your ransom on the cross. It is my prayer all of you who have come this morning will know what is the gospel all about. God has provided a Savior for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior, for he alone took our sins and died on the cross. And whosoever will trust him will have that salvation freely ministered to him. Now, Paul's concern was the gospel, the purity of that gospel that we believe and preach. At the same time, in the first 9 chapters, he also expressed his passion to preach that gospel so that sinners may be saved. For instance, Romans 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He was a passionate preacher. He was so convinced that gospel is pure and powerful to save sinners that his heart was always excited about declaring that gospel. And he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm rather enthusiastic about it. And I want to preach that gospel everywhere. To the Jews, that's his own people. And to the Greeks, all the non-Jews around the world. He has been doing it. In fact, Paul has not been to Rome yet when he wrote this epistle. He said to them, I surely want to come to Rome, and there also I want to preach the gospel. There's a man who was set on fire to preach the gospel everywhere. In the streets, in the mountains, along the coast of oceans, everywhere. Wherever there was opportunity, he would go and preach the gospel. Now in our text, Paul exhorts the church in Rome to consider the duty in sending preachers to spread the gospel that sinners may believe and be saved. Every church that name of Christ and stand fast for the gospel must be involved in preaching, in sending preachers, must be involved in spreading the gospel all around the world. Firstly, I want to ask a question and give answers to that question. And the question is, why is it important that we as a church must send preachers? Remember, Paul said in Romans 10, verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Why should we preach? Firstly, we have a message to preach. We are not going about to listen to people's opinions. We are not going about having nothing to give or nothing to say. We are given a message to preach. Verse 14 of Romans 10 asks us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So we have a message to preach. And what is our message? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going about to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Jesus is our message. The Son of God, the heaven's glorious Son, who came down to this world to visit sinners, that they may be redeemed from the hells of fire. That they may be redeemed from the wrath of God that's going to come against sinners of the world. We have certainly a message. The gospel of Christ. Christ is the good news because he came to die on the cross for us. Apostle Paul was a man who moved from place to place as a preacher. And he was always convicted in his heart that he moves from place to place not because he was eloquent, not because he has drafted us a very convincing philosophy of his own. But deep down in his heart, he knew God has given him the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the message he had all the time. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, I go from place to place, not to exalt myself, not to talk about my ability. I don't go about with wisdom of words, because gospel in itself is complete and beautiful. Gospel in itself is powerful and sufficient. I don't have to beautify the gospel with my words of wisdom. In fact, he says, my wisdom of words. I don't have to show, you know, those philosophers' ability to beautify a concept with their own choice of words and expressions. Gospel in itself is God's wisdom. And no man's wisdom is needed to empower or further beautify the gospel. And therefore he said, I go about preaching the gospel because it is God's power and God's wisdom. Dear friends, all of us are called to be bearers of the gospel. Sometimes you and I are afraid whether we can present it well, whether we are able to convict people, whether we can move them to believe what we say is right. Now, do not be so focused on yourself. As long as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and sanctify your life by dedicating yourself to the Lord, take that gospel message which you have believed and tell it to others. Because gospel in itself has the power and wisdom to take the hearts of men unto salvation. We have a message, the most perfect message. That's the only message the world can ever hear and believe in order to be saved. This gospel message is described with different words in Paul's epistles. Just want to quickly refer to those words that Paul used to describe the gospel of Christ, the message that we preach, so that you know what a wonderful message we have. It is called in Ephesians 1:13, the gospel of your salvation. Gospel message has a purpose. God has given us that message to achieve an end, and that end is our salvation. This message is really powerful and effective. It's dynamic. It will achieve its intended end, which is salvation. So in Ephesians 1:13, he said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is the gospel of our salvation. There are many more who are dying in sin, who are walking about in sin without knowing the salvation. They are miserable. They are troubled by their own guilt and sin. When we have the message of deliverance, salvation, if we don't talk about it, how would they know? In Ephesians 6:15, it is called the gospel of peace. It's gospel of salvation. It's gospel of peace. Oh, how many hearts are troubled and weary. Only if they knew the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel we have is the gospel of peace. This gospel of Christ is also called in 1 Timothy 1:11, the glorious gospel, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, said Paul. 1 Timothy 1:11. The glorious gospel. We have a message, and we also have a mandate to preach that gospel. Gospel is not only to believe, but also to be preached. That's the mandate. You all know what the Lord has said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? In Matthew 28, we read, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Exactly what Paul asks us in Romans 10 is the same truth that he tried to enforce by asking, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's reinforcing that great mandate that the Lord Jesus gave to the church. How do you expect the people of the world to hear and believe if we don't preach the gospel? So two reasons I mentioned this morning why we ought to preach, why we ought to send preachers. First, we have a message of salvation, message of peace, a message that's called the glorious gospel. It is God's power and God's wisdom. And we cannot be ashamed about that message. If we are not ashamed, if we truly believe in its power, then the mandate comes to us. Go and preach the gospel. How shall people hear if we do not preach? I thank God for many of you who go out to preach the gospel on your appointed time of evangelism. I know you have door-to-door evangelism. How do I know? Because from time to time, brethren from True Life will ask me, do you have any more gospel tracts? And they order by tens of thousands. And if you have to distribute so many tracts, well, that means you do go out. And we are going to print, God willing, another round of tracts. And about 15,000 is for you, your church, and the rest for our church and others. And, of course, I know you do preach the gospel. And recently there was a gospel rally held here together with FEBC. Wonderful. And we can never stop doing God's work. But we also have the duty of sending this gospel to other lands, to other places. Reverend Timothy Doe was always involved in missions, global missions. Sometimes he would call it accelerated evangelism, gospel mission. He always used to say, must speed up the work of the gospel, for the Lord is coming soon. We cannot sit back and relax, but we must be always at the forefront of the preaching of the gospel. That's why Reverend Toe started Firestone Bible College. Hundreds and hundreds of students have come through the portals of FEBC. Many have been faithfully preaching God's word. Hundreds have been saved under their ministry. Look, the work that the Lord has been doing through your pastor and your church has gathered so many souls. I dare not say this, hundreds or thousands. I do not know how many. But I'm sure there will be in thousands. And when we are in heaven, we will know. And friends, if we have set out to do such a work in obedience to His mandate, then let's continue it. Let's press on. Sometimes in ministry, we will face very, very trying moments. We will feel a bit tired. We will feel exhausted. We do not know how to move forward from time to time. Nonetheless, let's don't lose the focus of the ministry that God has given to us. Since I have explained to you the importance of sending preachers, I want to now answer another question I have for you. What is our role in sending preachers? We have a message, we have a mandate. Now, how are we going to fulfill the preaching of that gospel? What is our role in it? Because just now we read from Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? We must send preachers, but how? What shall we do to do that? I want to share with you three important roles that we have in the light of the scriptures. Firstly, we ought to prepare preachers. We are to send preachers. We are not to send singers. Nothing wrong, singers going about preaching, singing the songs. But here we are told to send preachers who will declare the gospel in all its purity. You see, all of us are supposed to be gospel bearers. Nonetheless, we are very clearly taught in the scriptures that some men will be called to be preachers. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, where you read of certain offices of the church which God gives to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Evangelists and pastors and teachers. These are men whom God has called to go and preach the word in its purity. We can't just pick any and say, oh, I like you, you know, you look very handsome. You got the charisma. Would you please go and preach? No, we can't do that. We got to have men whom God has called in His own way. And men who not only say that we are called in the heart, but also yield themselves to be well equipped in the Word of God. To present that gospel in its most accurate and pure form. Apostle Paul himself told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So in order to send preachers, our churches must have a program or an effort in finding people who are called by God and equipping them so that they may take God's word with a faithful spirit, with good understanding, and go and preach it. So as Paul was about to vanish from the scene, he called the next generation, for example, Timothy, and said, Timothy, you must remember this. What you have heard of me, Paul, Timothy, among many witnesses, contemporaries of Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now, faithful men here referred to the third generation, Paul, Timothy, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. That's fourth generation. In other words, Paul is saying a church that is committed to sending preachers must be committed to prepare people in the generations to come. God willing, we must carry on that work, my friends. And that's why I believe what the Lord has done through Reverend Timothy Toh in starting Firestone Bible College and preparing faithful men in the pure word of God is the most excellent thing to do in a pastor's life. And he has done it. And we have, as a church, must stand together with him and give all our efforts with all our passion as God himself requires of us with all our heart and with all our strength. We must help this work prosper. We can never do God's work without opposition. We will have all sorts of troubles from corners that we never thought would put up opposition. Nonetheless, this work of the Lord cannot be hindered because it belongs to the Lord. If God is for us, Who can be against us? We have to trust that. We have to believe it. We are right at the front of the gospel ministry. And we are called. We don't want to leave it to another. We want to take it on ourselves. Because our Lord gave us that glorious message and that glorious mandate. And we are now in the business of preparing the gospel work. You know, I want to thank the Lord that the doors of FEBC is still not closed. But look, whether there will be a place or the place that we have been using for running FEBC will be ours for the years to come is not an issue. Let the Lord's providence guide us in these matters. But we cannot lose heart. We cannot withdraw from the commitment that we have undertaken in His name. We just be focused to prepare God's people. We still want to thank the Lord for scores of men and women who enroll in FEBC from different parts of the world. We want to thank the Lord. We can teach them. And we do send them. As one of the students of your pastor, I have learned that deep in my heart. So I have taken on myself to do all that is possible in my power to be right in the front of the mission works around the world. Not because I have the power. Not because I think I'm able to do it. But I have seen that the work of the Lord has to flourish. And when God's people assume that responsibility, God will be their strength. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a FEBC today here. Many people thought that institution will be closed down many years ago, even at the very beginning. Reverend Thom might have told you that story, so I don't want to repeat it. But did it die? It did not. Because he remained committed to the Lord's calling, and the church did back it up. So, dear friends, what we do today in training men to preach the gospel is God-given mandate. And that is our first role. Once the Lord raises men who have a burden to preach the gospel, let's do everything possible to train them. Prepare them that they may be effective preachers around the world. You know, your church, in one way or the other, is involved not only in Firestone Bible College, but also in Bible College of East Africa in Kenya. And now in the new Bible college that is being set up in Tanzania. It's tremendous. Many of you will never see the faces of those preachers because you may not have an opportunity to go there and see them. And they may not have a time to come and tell you thank you. But what we have been committed to in setting up Bible colleges across the face of the earth, according to His grace, is the most noble work that we can do in our lifetime. Let's do it for the furtherance of the gospel. Continue to pray for God's grace. The second role in sending preachers is to provide for preachers. We prepare them to be preachers. We are called to provide. I know the Lord has taught you to give. You have been a giving church all these years. Let's continue in that good work. Let me give you some examples from Romans chapter 15 and 16. How to provide for preachers. Romans 15, please turn your Bibles to verse 25 to 29 of Romans 15. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Here Apostle Paul talks about the churches in Macedonia and Achaia who have collected money to help Paul to assist the work of the church in Jerusalem because many have become poor. It was from Jerusalem the gospel spread. It was a Jerusalem church that sent preachers first to the rest of the world. And when people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the preachers who came by from Jerusalem, they not only believed, they also assumed the responsibility of supporting churches around the world, including the mother church in Jerusalem. So they were glad to collect the money and send through Paul. Now look at other ways in which people have provided support for preachers around the world. Now here are some verses. Look into chapter 16, please. Here we a sister called Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And that he receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that he assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Here is a sister called Phoebe who has been a great help, one who comforted preachers like Paul. And we are not told exactly how she did it. She had her own way of comforting preachers. I'm sure she has given encouraging words to Paul. I'm sure she has done certain things to comfort him, to strengthen him, to nourish him physically and spiritually. So we have to ask ourselves, what have I been doing? How did I comfort God's servants? What can I do more? When Deacon Manny was chairing the service, he prayed, Lord, we have been very concerned about our own investments, our own properties, the things that are of this world. Forgive us for times when we have not taken your righteousness, your kingdom into our mind as most important duty on earth. That prayer was good. I did not really say exact words that he uttered, but that was the message. How true it is. So often we get distracted. But let's put God's work first. All the rest, the Lord will take care. If we care for God's work, God will care for us because we are His servants. So I thank God for all of you who have been continually giving. You know, such examples are down there. Again, verses 3 and 4 talks about Priscilla and Aquila. And they were called my helpers by Paul. And then in verse 4 about them, Paul says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla often traveled with Paul to assist him in the preaching of the gospel. Now it's good that you go on mission trips. Once in a while, take leave and go into mission stations to help in whatever way possible. But of course, this must be done very carefully, lest we may become overzealous and do great damage. We must be prepared. We must be guided. Do not take things on your own hand, but under the instruction of your pastors. Please do it properly. But we need people who are willing to go and assist in the Lord's work. If the Lord is moving your heart, yield yourself to do such work for the Lord. Well, the rest of chapter 16, I'm going to leave it to you to consider how we can engage ourselves in providing for preachers whom we send to the rest of the world. So we, our first role is to prepare preachers. The second role is to provide for them. And finally, it's our role to pray. We must be praying for preachers. Now again, please look at Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Paul said to the church in Rome, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Why? Verse 31, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." He says, strive with me in your prayers to God. Do you agonize for missionaries, for pastors, for preachers who go around the world to declare God's word? Dr. Jeffrey Koo will be going soon to Africa. You support Reverend Mark Kim and his ministry in Bible College of East Africa. You help in the work in Kemaman, Malaysia, and many other parts of Malaysia. You have a work in Tanzania, to which you have given much. You also must pray. We must strive in prayer. Make a prayer list of the needs of the workers, of the struggles of your mission works. And sit down or kneel down with those lists before your eyes and pray for them. By the way, some of us don't even know who are the preachers whom we support. Do you know? Some even don't know the names of the pastors. It's very embarrassing. If I don't know where the work is, what am I going to pray? Never mind. God knows. After all, it's God's work. You know, as long as I give, the Lord will take care. No, don't worry. We cannot be so disinterested. We must be informed so we can pray knowledgeably. We can strive, we can plead, we can intercede. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, I just read this verse quickly for you. Just listen to this. Colossians 4, 3, Paul says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Here Paul was in the prison, and he says, "My friends, keep praying for me, so God may open the hearts of some of these prisoners and soldiers around me, so I can preach the gospel to them." You know, when our missionaries or preachers are in trouble, we don't stop praying for them. Because we think, now they are arrested. Now they are in trouble. They cannot be of any use anymore. Finished. No. Preachers are preachers until they die. Whether in prison or in the field, they are still preachers. And the only mission on earth that we all ought to pray and back up is the preaching ministry. We continue to pray. For all preachers that we have, whether they are old or young, whether they are weak or strong, whether they are in the field or confined by the trials and troubles. Because every preacher, let me tell you, his greatest desire is that he can preach. Reverend Timothy Toh said he likes to teach. So when I heard that in the faculty meeting, I said, "Lord, how is he going to manage it? He's weak." But let me tell you, that is the true desire of every preacher. You must pray for him. So though he is aged, he can still minister. a word that he speak, if it is with the power of the Holy Spirit, can still save sinners and stir on some men to stand up and preach. Let's not be afraid and frightened and push back into inactivity because of our trials. We may go through all sorts of experiences, but my friends, we are called to be a church that sends preachers. Because we have a message and we have a mandate. So we shall give ourselves to prepare preachers, to provide for them, and to pray for them. And thus, we may fulfill His will on this earth in our lifetime. Let's pray. Our Lord God Almighty, we give You thanks this morning once again for reminding us that we have a great work to do, and that is to preach the gospel on our own, and also to send men whom Thou hast called to be wonderful and faithful preachers across the face of the earth. We want to flourish in Your business. So Lord, hear our prayers. Strengthen our hands. Strengthen our hearts, that we may do all that is possible in our days of life to spread the gospel. We thank You for FEBC. We thank You for True Life BP Church. We thank You for Reverend Tone, Reverend Jeffrey Koo, the elders and deacons, men and women who love Thee and love the work of the gospel. Lord, continue to answer the prayers for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.